Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark Esley.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark Esley. I'm so happy you're able to join us this morning here in the Motor City on this nice, cool Sunday morning here during the Thanksgiving season. Good morning, Doak. How you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing just fine. As we all know, this is our source for entrepreneurship and small business development across the great city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because this show does air nationally via radio.com. Now, Doak, we have to have a special shout-out to someone this week. Who did we give a shout-out
to? Yeah, Comcast. What a great night. They had us up in the suite, the Comcast did, and we saw the Wings play, and what a great win. It was a good game, and it's the first time I've been in a suite up there, and it's really nice. They do a good job with that. So, Comcast, thank you.
Yeah,
Michelle
thank you.
And Michelle Rob Cooper. And
Okay. It was wonderful. And the one thing I would say about that suite, all the years I've been going to Detroit sporting events dating back to 1966.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever sat in a suite with a fireplace.
Yeah. And there was a big difference back there where you were sitting it was supposed to where I was sitting.
It was cold out there in the bowl. But
yes, it was.
But anyway, thank you, Michelle and team at Comcast.
Yes.
All right, we got a great lineup of guests. And starting this week with our good friends from the Hunter Group. And in fact, this segment is brought to you by the Hunter Group. I'd like to welcome Ms. Blair Miller, who's the co-owner of the Hunter Group. And she's also brought two of her clients, Ms. Sheila Clay, who is currently the president and CEO of the Neighborhood Services Organization, and Ms. Linda Little, who's the president and CEO-elect. Blair, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, thank you very much. It's the season already.
It is the season. We appreciate it. We appreciate your continued support as well.
Well, thank you so much. Mark, today I invited our client leader, Sheila Clay and Linda Little, to join me today to talk about building leadership teams as a long-standing social services nonprofit in Detroit. The Hunter Group recently completed an executive search for Sheila's successor, and we are pleased to introduce Linda Little today as Sheila's successor at the end of this year.
Well, okay, first of all, you got another remarkable search, right? And for our listeners who are listening from across the country, give a one-second overview of the Hunter Group.
Well, thank you, Mark. The Hunter Group is an executive search firm here located in Detroit, and we are very pleased to support our corporate and nonprofit leaders and clients in terms of finding the next leadership team. And we work principally in suite positions and enjoy our work. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. And Sheila, congratulations.
Thank you.
18 years you've been leading the NSO Neighborhood
Service.
Thank you. Neighborhood Service Organization for 18 years. And so tell us why, from your perspective, and why did the board of directors decide to go outside, essentially, to find the next CEO of the organization?
Well, the board really wanted to do an objective search and decided that for them to conduct the search themselves was going to be a daunting task. They don't work at NSO. They have other jobs, and decided that they needed someone else to execute that process for them. And so they went and issued an RFP for a search firm, and the Hunter Group was successful. We had one internal candidate who is here with me, Linda Little, who also served on the board of directors and was in a role at my request as chief strategy officer. So my position was the successor was already there, but the board really wanted to do a full objective search to mm-hmm. be sure that they had the best person, and they absolutely found her.
And before we go to Linda, I got to ask you a question. 18 years, that's a long time in this day and age. What were your keys for success, for longevity?
A passion for the work. Mm-hmm. A belief in the people who did the work, and also very strong satisfaction in the impact we were having in the community. And those were the drivers that just kept me going, even through some of the changes that we were going through in our industry.
And for our listeners across Detroit, as well as across the country, just give a one-statement overview of NSO.
NSO is a large human service organization that provides behavioral health services to older adults, the homeless, children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, disabilities and those with addiction disorders and also those in a psychiatric crisis, along with workforce development for youth ages 14 to 18.
That's outstanding. And Blair, listening to that mission, and as referenced earlier, you're the executive search firm responsible for developing or attracting, you know, trying to get the right person to fill that position, if you will. So what attracted leaders to an organization such as DSO?
Well, for every high-impact nonprofit leadership position, we certainly see that it's all about the mission. And when we can tell candidates that NSO answered 88,000 housing crisis calls, served more than 4,200 older adults, and helped more than 2,000 individuals with intellectual disabilities, it really is an amazing opportunity to lead this organization, as Linda well knows now.
Yeah, and I want to correct myself, and I always correct myself when I make a mistake, which is probably once every 20 years. I said DSO, so I want to make sure. I want to make sure it's NSO, Neighborhood Services Organization. I want to make sure I correct myself. And certainly you have an outstanding organization for attracting those leaders to an outstanding organization such as NSO. But Linda, let's go over to you. And you know, you're new to the organization as the CEO. President-elect, congratulations.
Thank you, Mike.
Why did the board select you? What skills did you bring to elevate you to that next level?
Well, you know, Mark, it's an interesting time to be in healthcare. And as a former board member of NSO for 10-plus years, it's been an organization that's been very near and dear to my heart. The environmental factors of the healthcare industry is now demanding that physical health and behavioral health become one. To look at the whole person and treat that individual and address all of the social factors that impede or impact their health status. And my experience in healthcare, more than 20 years in healthcare, with leading efforts to drive care and extend our reach from the hospital out into the communities, the board saw that as holding tremendous value to taking the next step for the organization.
And we certainly have issues in this city, don't we?
We do.
You know, we hear the discussions about the economy that's improving, and some people will put, you know, quotes and air quotes around that. I'm not here to debate that either way. My point is that although the economy is improving and the employment rates, if you believe that the employment rates in Detroit are improving, we still have some fundamental issues to address.
That's very correct, Mark. And as a matter of fact, the disparities in our communities in particular are getting wider and broader. So health equity is a prominent issue for many urban communities, but especially here in Detroit. And organizations like NSO has been around for almost 65 years, and we've been delivering services and programming in the community where people live, work, play, to help them to navigate the environments that they're in so that they can live their best lives and be their best selves. And so we are going to continue to innovate and drive our mission to help support the communities, even in these ever-changing times.
And I want to come back to that because I want to go back over to Sheila. Sheila, you were a long-standing CEO for the organization. So what were some of the some of the pillars that you've established under your leadership that you're leaving in Linda's hands? So in other words, focus on where you are leaving the organization today. And then what I want to do is to come back over to Linda and talk about the future with those pillars in place.
We've been able to really start looking at people in a more holistic way. We were focused on older adults who had a mental illness for a long time and started working with older adults who did not have one but who were living in the community and wanting to keep them in the community, and really worked on health education, health wellness with them. And so that was one expansion. We moved into housing development, which is probably my largest legacy to NSO. Under my leadership, we developed the largest permanent supportive housing development in the state of Michigan for the homeless population, and that was something that NSO had not been doing prior to that period of time. And we're doing workforce development with young people, which was new for NSO. And so we're really trying to help kids get ready for the workforce, get them ready for higher education. And so those are two of the main ones, the housing for the homeless population and the workforce development with youth.
Yeah, and Linda, let's just picking up what Sheila said, those are three critical areas. Now, you're the new leader of the organization. By the way, when does this become an effect? When you become officially?
Well, I officially started October 8th.
Okay.
We're in transition.
You're in transition. So as you listen, what Sheila just laid out. Now, talk about your vision. You kind of alluded to it a minute ago. What is your vision over the next 3 to 5 years, whether to build on it or slightly change it? What are you thinking?
So I would add a fourth pillar. Sheila Clay has been a pillar of the organization.
We all know Sheila Clay, by the way.
Almost 20 years.
Yes,
so
we do. I've heard of her, too.
She's been a tremendous pillar for not just NSO, but the community at large. So, yes, building upon the foundation that NSO has created in our community is my future and what I'd like to do with the organization. We have a wonderful team of clinicians and experts and staff who are dedicated and committed, which is the heartbeat of the organization. And so really driving that talent pool to help create more wider change through collective impact, coalition building, and integrating services is really a challenge that I have to help address social determinants to health, social determinants to education, social determinants impacting economic justice. So those are some things that I am working to have a greater impact on in our communities through partnerships, building stronger relationships, diversifying our revenue base to not just be a government-funded agency, to have a broader base of support from the community so we can deliver and drive deeper services.
And Sheila, you know, you talk about transformational change. Okay, and I'm going to kind of liken this to being a parent. Now, you've been there for 20 years, 18 years, and, you know, as we go through transformation, we watch our kids grow. I watch my kids grow, right, as we all have, and sometimes it's hard to let them go. It is. And now you're at a point where you're kind of letting it go, but yet you've been responsible for transforming this organization. Talk about transforming the organization and the prospects of letting it go as a CEO.
Well, you know, when you've poured your heart and soul into an organization the way I've done with NSO, you love it so much, you also know what it needs. And as I can envision the future, which Linda represents for me, recognizing what the needs were for the organization, I loved it enough to make a decision to step back and move into retirement. Sometimes you love something that much that you pave a way for somebody to come in who you know can fulfill the vision to make sure it sustains the future. And so that the transformation is easy for me because I volunteered for this and I've got the right person who is going to lead the agency. So I'll be able to sleep at night knowing that the organization is in good hands. And I'm also leaving while the board and the staff kind of want me to stay. You leave while people still want you to stay. You don't stay too long, but you stay, you leave. But it's a wonderful transformation because of who I'm transferring this organization over to.
Yeah, before where I go back up to you for the final word, are you staying in Detroit?
Oh, am I staying here?
Yeah.
Yes,
all
I'll
right.
be here for a few. Yeah, I have children in other states, right. but I will be here for at least 5 more years.
All right, good. Yes. I got to ask. I understand retirement.
Yes.
We get it. But
no, I'll be here.
All right. Well, and we're in a closing minute or so. You know, another example of what you've done in terms of helping to get the right leader into the organization. In the closing 30 seconds or 20 seconds, talk to us about the impact that your organization has had in this nonprofit space for identifying new talent as well, in this case, existing talent.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, it's really our honor to really find the next round of leadership for each of our high impact nonprofit clients. And what's so fun to watch is within 6 months of a new leader coming into the organization, the lift factor that we see in each organization, that fresh energy, the new ideas, the enthusiasm, the respect for the legacy that they have of the organizations. Most of our clients have been here for decades, and yet they have to change as much as any corporate has to do in terms of staying fresh and innovative in this dynamic environment. So it's really an honor to work with all the nonprofits here in Detroit, and we have some really great ones, and the team is working so hard every day. So thank you, Mark, for this opportunity to present and tell the story today.
And very quickly, the Hunter Group's website is?
HunterGroup.com.
And NSO's website is?
NSO-MI.org.
All right. Blair Miller and Sheila Clay and also Linda Little, thank you very much for coming in and sharing the great things about NSO. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for having
me.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving season.
You too.
You too.
There'll be more guests after this commercial break. And in fact, this segment was brought to you by the Hunter Group. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley. During this Thanksgiving holiday season. Yes, it's hard to believe, don't, but it's here.
It is.
Oh, man.
Food, food, food.
Oh,
food,
yeah.
And football.
Oh, you can't beat
that. These are my favorite things.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Exactly.
And speaking of the holidays, I want to wish you all a very happy holiday season and spend that time with your family and loved ones and just get a chance to catch up and catch your breath a little bit too. Another quick year, Doak.
That's right. They all go fast.
They all go fast. We have another very special guest here in the studio with us. His name is Mr. Bob Lambert, and he's the general manager of a very well-known property that's doing some great things in downtown Detroit, the Detroit Foundation Hotel. And Bob is a newly transplanted Detroiter and was born in Los Angeles, was raised in Germany, where his family operated a steakhouse. And he has been exposed to the industry, hospitality industry, from a very young age. And again, he's relatively new to the Motor City. I've had a chance to spend some time with him recently. You're going to be very impressed by his story. Bob, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Mark. Really great to be here.
Yes, well, glad to have, absolutely glad to have you, and happy Thanksgiving season to you as well.
Absolutely. Happy holidays.
Good. Happy holidays. The Detroit Foundation. But before we go to the Detroit Foundation Hotel, talk to us exactly how you landed in the Motor City.
Well, you know, I was, as you can tell, I've been around a little bit, from Vegas to Orlando to Miami and D.C., and it, all in the hospitality business. And I really wanted to do a project that, and most of those times were spent in what I call branded hotels. And I really wanted to do a project that was just really connected to the community in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had been following a Parium Hotel Group out of Chicago for a number of years, and we liked each other, and we were just waiting for the right opportunity to come around. And the Detroit Foundation Hotel came calling and says, you know what, we're doing this project. What do you think about Detroit? And I said, well, I love Detroit. And I pretty much arrived sight unseen, man. I left my previous hotel on a Friday and rolled into Detroit on Sunday and started work on Monday.
Wow.
And it's been a wild, unbelievable ride so far.
And if I recall, you came here from St. Louis.
I did.
Right? Another great city.
Another great city. Yes,
great city.
Absolutely. Had a great time there. I have a lot of friends there. Still, you know, connect with those guys on a regular basis. So it was a good experience.
On a personal note, I think I shared this story with you about St. Louis. Doak, way back in the day, the Tigers played the Cardinals in 1968, right?
Yeah.
So we just celebrated the 50th year of
that
classic World Series, Bob Gibson, Mickey Loesch, and those guys. But my uncle, actually my dad's cousin, was the backup catcher for the 68 St. Louis Cardinals.
Really?
Dave Ricketts played behind Tim McCarver.
Wow.
And for a long time was the bullpen coach for the Cardinals until he passed several years ago. So that's my strong connection to the Cardinals, which is probably why they're my second favorite team behind my Detroit Tigers.
Cardinals are easy to root for. That's a great organization, mm-hmm. and it's an unbelievable baseball town.
It's an unbelievable baseball town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of a great town, let's talk about the Detroit Foundation. To our listeners here in Detroit, some of them may not have heard of the Foundation Hotel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've heard of the building. It's about the historical perspective of the building. And also to our listeners across the country, they may not be aware of the Foundation. So let's talk to us about the hotel itself.
So the Detroit Foundation Hotel, we opened March 15th of last year, and it's just been an unbelievable ride. We're a boutique hotel, and the way that we develop hotels are we build restaurants and bars really first, and then hotel rooms second, because we want our food and beverage component of our hotels to be a destination for locals. And you'll probably recognize, Mark, last time you were there, you probably looked around and you saw all kinds of people that you knew or recognized,
mm-hmm.
Because we are indeed a destination for locals. And we coined that phrase, translocal hospitality. So it's the hospitality industry. And of course, the transient piece of our business are out-of-town business travelers that are coming in to do business in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But the local piece is where I have all my fun. Because the ability to connect with people in such an authentic way in our restaurant and bar, and even in our hotel, because you'll be amazed at how many people are actually coming to Detroit, staying at our hotel, that are from all the suburban areas for their staycations.
Yeah.
You know, downtown Detroit, four major sports, the Fox Theater, the Fillmore, they're coming down to experience it over a whole weekend. And so we have an opportunity just to meet and connect and collaborate with so many Detroiters, which really makes it fulfilling for me.
And the thing about that building, it used to be the Detroit Fire Department's administrative offices, right?
Correct, the headquarters, yes,
the headquarters,
sir.
Thank you. Yeah. I remember as a kid going down there, and you would see the firefighters in there, you would see the pole, and you would see the fire trucks, whatever, you know. It's just and that building stood dormant for so long, and then to watch it being redeveloped, and now recently was named by Time Magazine as what?
One of the top 100 hotels in the world.
One of the top 100 hotels in the world. And I've had the opportunity of going down and doing staycations. Before I even met you, I was doing staycations. I do staycations in downtown Detroit, and I love staying at that property. You guys do a phenomenal job.
Thank you very much.
But you know what amazed me about it, though, Bob, is you've maintained the historical texture, the architecture, right, of the original architecture, so you can feel the history in that building. But what amazed me about it is, and you taught me this when we had a conversation recently, when I went down there, and you had that open area by the apparatus room, I believe, right? And you said that's open to anyone, everyone. You don't have to buy anything. You can just walk in if you want to do your work. It's like a co-working space or individual space. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, a large part of what we want to create and what we have created is a community spot. I want you, if you don't have a brick and mortar store, if you want to bust out of your office and come in and pop open your laptop in our lounge, and really our restaurant and bar are all one big large room, just with the bar kind of in the middle. And the area that you're talking about is what we talk about as our lounge. But you don't need to buy anything. You can come in and just hang out with us. We've got a fire burning right now during the holidays. It's a place of community, and that means so much to us because I want people there really talking about their Detroit experience and improving what is going on in Detroit, improving their businesses, and collaborating in a way that is such an unbelievable experience for us to see those things happening in our space.
We're talking to Bob Lambert. He's the general manager for the Detroit Foundation Hotel, located in downtown Detroit, kitty corner to the Cobalt Center, and it's within walking distance of all the major attractions down there, the three stadiums, and the cultural arts. You can certainly take a short ride up to DIA and the other facilities down there. So certainly within walking distance of the Detroit River, and so when you bring people in, suburban folks, for example, who come in from the suburbs, from the Troy's and the Southfields and the West Blooms of the world, for example, Northfield. What is their reaction staying at the hotel and then walking around downtown? What kind of feedback do you get from those individuals about downtown Detroit and the Foundation Hotel?
It's phenomenal. I mean, first of all, people are so excited to see that we were able to maintain the integrity of the building. As you mentioned earlier, it's an iconic building, and people have a lot of emotion around it. You took a field trip as a kid there. You may have had a family member that was a firefighter there. So the stories are endless, and we're very, very cognizant of that and want to make sure that those stories continue to be told. So that in itself is an amazing experience. And then just the Detroit experience, the downtown Detroit experience, you know, two blocks they can get on the queue line, across the street they can get on the people mover, hit all areas of downtown in a very quick amount of time. And everything is walkable. We see that so much on all of our reviews that, you know what? What a great location. I can walk to a Tigers game. I can walk to a Lions game. And also be able to have different experiences. You know, people ask me all the time about, you know, we were the first boutique hotel to hit the market, and people are saying, you know, Bob, hey, there's more coming. I'm like, yeah, bring it, because it's going to improve the Detroit experience, and that's what we're about. We want to contribute and make sure that when people travel to Detroit, from Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, wherever they're from, they go home and they say, wow, I had an unbelievable Detroit experience, and I'm going back for another reason. I'm going back with my friends or my family. So the response is amazing.
And that's exactly what my next question was going to be, about the boutique hotels. And we're starting to see more coming in downtown Detroit. You kind of answered the question, but let me just take it a step beyond. You said bring it. Now, when the other boutique hotels come into Detroit, and we know there are several coming, what is that point of difference still going to be for the foundation?
I think we're going to, you know, my focus is to make sure that we just do business in a very authentic and collaborative way, and always be giving of ourselves. I mean, probably one of the most you know, satisfying things for me is the way that we are able to connect with the local community in a very, as I mentioned, unselfish way. And I'll give you an example. If you're a local artist and you'd like to bring your art into our space, we'll allow you to display it for up to a month, and we're not charging you rent, and we're not going to charge you if you sell a piece of art. We have a pretty, we have a strong presence in the marketplace, and why not use what we are to help others? And that's, to me, our longevity and, you know, how what we're going to be 5 and 10 years from now is we're going to be in a great place because we're going to continue to do business that way.
And then you have a great restaurant down there, the Apparatus That's right. Room. Talk to us about that. That's been recognized.
So, absolutely. So, our chef, Thomas Lentz, is a Michelin 2-star chef originally from Battle Creek. It's a coming home story for him. He received his stars in Chicago, his Michelin stars in Chicago, and he just keeps amazing us across the board, whether it's Chef's Table that won, you know, the restaurant of the year, or whether it's the Apparatus Room or our lounge menu. It has unbelievable small bites and, you know, and more of a casual bar scene. Mm-hmm. He continues to amaze, and the talent that he's surrounded him with is amazing. And so, yeah, we have an unbelievable time there.
Yeah, and I closed a couple of minutes. I was down there recently for another event. I was actually down there for a Pistons game and was walking around downtown area, and I ended up over at the Foundation as well. And it was a Thursday evening, so this past Thursday and every Thursday, you have something going on. What were all those people doing down there this past Thursday evening? My goodness.
Yeah, our After Dark music series is really taking off. We are partnering with people within the mayor's office. We've got some friends there and a company called Culture Creators that really helps us promote the local music scene. And again, in a giving way, we say, look, I want to provide you with a platform to play your music and to get better at your craft. Mm-hmm. And what better place than the Apparatus Room in our lounge every Thursday night? And hopefully they'll sign a record deal. Hopefully, you know, somebody will be in there listening to them that take note. And again, it's about helping. And it's a great collaboration. It makes me feel so good. We embrace them. They're our family now. So,
you know what I loved about that, though, Bob, was the diversity of people, the diversity of backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And then I also saw the next generation of Detroiters. Everybody knows on this show, I'm a born and raised here. I'm a native. I live in 8 different cities across the country. But just to see the coolness factor and to see the diversity of people, young people, more mature people, people in between, men, women, black, white, it doesn't matter. It's all types of people. To me, that represented the city of Detroit and this metropolitan area of 5 million people. That was cool to see.
Yeah, and you know, when I speak about After Dark, the most rewarding thing for me, and what I think the magic happens, is at 11 o'clock. When the music stops and people hang out for another hour and a half networking and exchanging cards, and you talk about that diverse room of people from everywhere, from the people that own the laundromat up the street to a financial advisor, they're in there talking business and again trying to improve the Detroit experience and improve themselves.
So, I can go on for a long time, but I'm up against the clock, so let's do this. Why don't you give us the address of the hotel and also the website as well?
So we're located at 250 West Larned downtown, right across the street from Cobo Center. You can find us at Detroit Foundation FoundationHotel.com, and we'd love to have stop by, ask for Bob. I'm there a lot because I love what I do and I love being a part of the city.
Well, thank you very much for all you're doing. We appreciate it, and I'm glad you are a transplanted Detroiter.
Me too.
All right.
Me too. Thank
That's
you, Mark.
Mr. Bob Wamber, General Manager for the Detroit Foundation Hotel. There'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark S. Lee.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. We're kicking off the holiday season this weekend, and we hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday as well as the holiday season as well. We're going to continue the conversation in a moment, but I, as you know, I have to do my shout-outs at this time of the show, and I'd like to give a shout-out to AM 1270. If you're here in the Motor City, for giving me this forum each and every week to have a conversation with you. And you might be reading your local free press or reading your mobile technology here in Detroit, or you might be listening across the country with many of our .coms that we have. We have WWJNewsRadio.com, EliteGroupInnovation.com, TheHubDetroit.com, SoundCloud.com. And you may be sitting back in your local city across the country and reading your local newspaper or your technology. Just sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee, no matter where you are, with our very next guest. Now, we're going to take a complete deviation from a small talk conversation.
All right.
And I wanted Dr. Paula Kleiger, who's a licensed psychologist from Psychological Assets based in Birmingham, Michigan, to join us. And she's been kind enough to call in this morning.
Good.
So let me kind of give you a little bit of background.
Okay.
Been a lot of issues and discussions regarding the recent rash of mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And certainly in Florida and in Pittsburgh and in California. And the reason I want to have this conversation, she has some incredible insights on what's going on and why it's happening. As we go into the holiday season and beyond, I think it's time that we continue to raise the awareness levels of what's going on.
Okay.
All right, so that's it. So, Dr. Kleiger, thank you very much for joining me, and we appreciate it.
Yes, I'm happy to be here with you.
Okay, so you heard me just say, share with Doak. We've seen in recent weeks all these rash of mass shootings and acts of public violence, as I referenced, in Florida, Pittsburgh, and California. You know, talk to us why, and from your perspective, what's driving these actions? What's going on right now?
Well, it seems to me that there's an awful lot of fear and anxiety and tension in the air, in our country in particular right now, and has been going on for quite some time. But the particular rash of mass shootings often have a lot to do with people who really have had long-standing suffering that they are enduring. And during times when there's a lot more stress and a lot more fear and a lot more even suspiciousness of hurt and harm, these are the people who begin to isolate themselves even more, feel alienated, and after long-standing unresolved grievances, they may do something like this. They may, in fact, in an indirect way, actually, they're hurting themselves. But while they're hurting themselves, they feel so hurt they want somebody else to hurt with them. So we need to think about the person themselves who tends to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of rhetoric out there, a lot of noise, I think, that's being driven across the country. And certainly, do you think that has is playing a part as well in terms of the aggravation and anxiety that we're seeing and feeling across the country?
Absolutely. I tend to stick very closely to psychology because I think that's important and not get into a political side of things.
Yeah.
But let's look at it from the standpoint of psychology and leadership. One of the things that's really important is that leaders in and of themselves, the more that we have leadership, the more we have responsibility for what we say and what we do, how we act, because people are looking to us always for models of how to react to the easier situations as well as the most difficult ones.
Mm-hmm.
So the tensions and the fears that exist today really have a lot to do with our leaders and how they are expressing themselves and, in fact, what they also do. Because what we model, others imitate, from our children through adulthood. So I truly feel that a lot of the divisiveness and so forth is coming from those we really are looking to for how do I handle a tough situation, an emotional situation?
Mm-hmm.
How do I handle a loss of one kind or another?
Yeah.
And some of the actions just don't work very well at all.
So Doak, here we are in the Thanksgiving season, in the holiday season. You know, you and I have chatted about this as well. You always feel that extra anxiety, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
oh,
yeah. You got to figure out, you got family coming over, and maybe you have to buy gifts or whatever.
Right.
So you feel your anxiety level increasing, don't you?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, and Dr. Kleiger, this leads me into my next question with you. Here we are in the Thanksgiving season, in the holiday season. So people are feeling that added stress. And so what are some of the telltale signs that an individual may be suffering from, whether it's depression or mental illness? You know, what are some of the signs that we should be looking for, and how can we help those individuals?
Well, what I mentioned first is really important, and that is how much the people in your family or friends are engaged, involved in the way that you're accustomed to seeing them. If you can see that there's a major change or a loss of some kind, a loss of a job, relationship, there have been some rejections and so forth, and you see a major change in the way the person acts or their mood, really important signs. If they're withdrawing or if they are becoming very moody, easily agitated, irritable, very important. If the person tends to have been someone who isolates themselves and they're doing it even more, this is a sign too. These are some of the very important indicators. Also, somebody who's expressing hopelessness, like, you know, what's the point? What's the point of life? We hear that often from young people today in particular. And, of course, you know our suicide rates have really increased astronomically with regard to young people and young adults. So when we're hearing them talk that way as if there's no sense of future, no sense of hope, this is one of those signs to be looking for in your family and in friends and even in the workplace. It's really important.
And we're talking to Dr. Paula Kweiger this morning. She's a licensed psychologist, and she has a practice, Psychological Assets, based in Birmingham, Michigan. And this is a very important conversation. We know this show is focused on entrepreneurship and small business development. We know that we're going into certainly the challenging time of the year, the most joyful time of the year, but also a time where anxiety will continue to increase. So I want to bring this back to, and let's tie this, you referenced the workplace, let's tie this back into entrepreneurship as well, where a lot of people think about their business 24-7, revenues are up and down, there may not be a consistency of revenue, expenses are going up. So now they're feeling that added pressure, added stress. Mm-hmm. Does that contribute to what we might be seeing, you know, in terms of the mental challenges and depression and other things that we've been referencing, that you've been referencing so far this morning?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that some of the things that people can do, particularly entrepreneurs who have their own businesses or even small businesses and so forth, you know, during this time, and it's about a 3-month time, make some space for coming together regularly with your people. I mean, you know, that old fashioned idea of having, you know, a gathering with your employees. You know, even if you have just a luncheon with snacks or whatever because you can't afford a whole lot this year, the coming together is the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spending a bunch of money is not.
Interesting.
People really need to connect.
That's really interesting because I think that a lot of times, you know, a lot of times people believe, you know, money solves all the problems. But the reality is, though, it doesn't. No, I mean, you have other things that can contribute. I love what you're just saying. Come together. And especially this time of the year, we got family members coming together. I had the opportunity, Dr. Kweiger, my daughter spent a couple of days with me. You know, she's an adult. It was so nice to have her home. You know, I won't say how old she is, because she'll get mad at me. But the point was, we were under the same household. We had great conversations. It was like this unprecedented level of peace, just having my daughter with me in my house. How cool was that?
It's so important. And to be welcoming, even though you know, let's just say there are going to be some tensions, you know, if you come with a welcoming attitude and spin things that way, then most people tend to follow along because they want that feeling as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing for the workplace, you know, along with coming together regularly, I think it's important for the leader or those who lead, check in with your people. Check in with each person, one person at a time. Don't wait until you're giving out a raise or wait until, you know, you have to discipline somebody or you have to, you know, tell someone they're not doing something well. Check in with them on a regular basis. Sit down, look at your calendar, choose a day that you check in with your people at least once a month, if not every week initially.
That's excellent advice that we're hearing. Check in with your people. Let's just make sure that we're in tune with them, getting together. This is what Dr. Kweiger is referencing this morning. Yes, we're having a very unique conversation for Small Talk with Mark Esley, but I think, Doug and I talked about this week, it's very important that we have this conversation. This country is on edge in some ways, and this is not a political discussion. We're talking about a very serious issue here, an issue that talks about mental challenges or mental illness or depression, what are the contributing factors, and she's giving some some excellent advice on how to cope with it, whether it's at home or in the workplace. Dr. Kleiger, you recently wrote a book, published a book called Power Your Heart, You Power Your Mind, that talks about the importance of understanding yourself and to help you appreciate perspectives and opinions of others. Talk to us about that, and is that the key that helps us to overcome the divides that we currently have in our society?
I really believe it is. I've worked with people, so many people have experienced trauma of all kinds. And one of the things I've learned is that the more that we learn and understand ourselves and we feel comfortable over time with the good things about ourselves and the things that aren't so good, our weaknesses and vulnerabilities, when we can accept that fully, we gain actually more confidence. Mm-hmm. We can deal with more difficult situations. And then, guess what? There's an additional benefit. We begin to be much more open and understanding of others.
Yeah.
When we can accept our own selves more.
So do you think, in our closing do you think that, I hear you, but there's something else, this divide that we currently have, are we not listening to each other right now either? Is it just almost like one person for him or herself?
I think that when you're scared, you go to your corner, right? So what it really means is that we do need to find ways, just like we're talking right now, mm-hmm. for people, that's why I suggest coming together, for people to come together and sit with each other. We need to have much more dialogue around with people who may not think the same way we do. We shy away from doing that. We tend to just spend time with the people we know and we know think the way we do.
Yeah.
Let's try to find ways to come together with people who may come from a different world entirely and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, okay. As we wrap out, I mean, this is a phenomenal story. I got to have you back on, and we got to continue this conversation. I just love talking to you. You know that. What is the website where people can find your book and more about your organization as well?
People can find me at www.psychassets.com. You can call us at 248-594-5979. Okay. And my book is at the website, Power Your Heart, You Power Your Mind.
Outstanding. Well, Dr. Paula Kleiger, I want to thank you very much for calling in, and I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving season, holiday season as well. I would like to have you back on, if you don't mind, so we can continue this conversation.
I would love it, and you have a wonderful holiday as well.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. It's Dr. Paula Kleiger from Psychological Assets. There'll be more guests after this commercial break, including healthcare discussion. Next on Small Talk with Marcus Lee. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Marcus. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying that conversation over a nice hot cup of coffee. And I got to tell you, I was looking at the news earlier this week, and the average high for this past week in Metro Detroit, Doak, was supposed to be 51 degrees.
I know. What happened to that?
And for those of you across the country, we've been having highs of 32 with a little bit of snow. I'm thinking, did we fast forward to January?
Hard to rake leaves when they're frozen.
It's hard to leave the house when you're frozen.
Exactly.
Anyway, so Doak and I had a great time. Again, we want to thank our friends at Comcast for hosting us this past week at Little Caesars Arena.
Yeah, it was great.
We watched the Detroit Red Wings play the Phoenix Coyotes, or the Arizona Coyotes back in the day.
Yep.
So, all right, we're going to continue our conversation with a wonderful young man, Mr. David Liebrecht. And he graduated from the University of Toledo, and he majored in professional sales and marketing, has over 11 years of direct sales and marketing experiences for various companies and different industries, and is currently working in the healthcare space. And we're going to continue the conversation, kind of what we talked briefly about in the previous segment with Dr. Kleiger, but in a slightly different way. David, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So good to have you. And you're with, the name of the organization is?
Heartland.
So give us a very brief overview of Heartland before we jump into this conversation about the healthcare continuum.
Sure. So most folks have not heard of Heartland, but the company specializes in skilled nursing services, or SNF. And for the folks that don't really or are not aware of us, most of our patients come to us directly from the hospital. So due to like an injury or an illness or a procedure. And a lot of times they can't go directly back home because they're too weak. So we do a lot of specialization in rehabilitation to get them back strong, to get them back to their house. So in a nutshell, skilled nursing and rehab.
Okay. So skilled nursing and rehab. And then there's this thing called the healthcare continuum. What exactly does that mean? What does that mean?
Sure. So everybody in this room, including you, Mark, we're all a part of it. But we actually don't, it seems like we don't really talk about it till we're in our later years. And so a lot of times when you have your PCP and you have engagements with healthcare professionals, you begin to kind of be a part of the healthcare continuum. And when we get older, we usually have to seek, unfortunately, if our health isn't right and we don't have good fortune, we don't take care of ourselves. Sometimes we have injuries or illnesses that transpire and we have to seek out professionals. And so the healthcare continuum starts when we're really old and we have a pediatrician all the way till we're not here anymore. And so, and all those things in between. So independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing, hospice care, home care, all of those things make up the continuum.
So it's almost that natural progression of life.
Amen to that.
It's probably Absolutely. So you got the pediatrician, and we get a little bit more mature.
The whole way through. Kind of like a timeline.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a healthcare timeline.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. And we talk about Heartland, and what specifically do you do? I mean, you referenced it earlier, but can you talk about the skilled nursing and what it's about in the context of Heartland? So you kind of, let me rephrase that question. You talked earlier about the high level organization and what you focus on. But talk about what skilled nursing is all about. And as healthcare continues to change, how has your company, the organization, evolved as well?
Well, I think if you look back maybe 10, 20 years ago, healthcare in general was really siloed out. You'd have hospitals working on their own. You'd have us working on our own. You'd have some type of assisted living, very bare bones assisted living. And what you're seeing now is more of a focus. Those walls or barriers are completely being removed, and the communication between all parties is increased a bunch. And the reason, of course, as you guys know this, and this relates to small business, is cost.
Yeah.
The cost keeps going up, and the people keep getting older and living longer. So we're all having to get very creative about ways to help. And so I think that kind of focuses on what we do best. So a lot of times, 10, 20 years ago, we'd have people that came to us, and they'd stay 100 days. That's completely changed now, because if you're not progressing with us, our company, due to insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, managed care products, we have to move them on to what we call the next level of care. So you can't just hang out with us forever, even though I have some good jokes. They do move on.
So they're staying in the room a lot shorter.
Yeah, the window of time is definitely decreased. So I would say on average, folks stay with us 15, 20, 25 days. So it really has shrunk. So we're being asked many times to do a lot more with a lot less.
So basically, David, they're going from 100 days to maybe 15 to 20 days. Wow. So basically, it's almost like that churn factor, isn't it?
It went from a marathon to a very aggressive sprint, is what I would call it.
Yeah, probably going in the old days of 440 relay yards, and now today 400 meters.
Yes. You can't hear me breathing very hard, but we are.
Yeah.
No, I think we have to do it because of cost, and we have to provide that same level of care to our patients. And so from the moment a person arrives, we're getting very, very proactive with what their goals are to make sure by the time they leave, 15, 20, 25 days later, they have what they need to discharge.
Yeah. And now as we talk about the organization, you've evolved in ProMedica and HCR Manor Care. Exactly what are those parts of the organization focused on?
Sure. So not to get too nitty gritty, but the overall is as of July of 2018, we all became one company.
Okay.
So Mark had mentioned I'm a Toledo guy. I love Toledo. Go Rockets. Go St. Francis.
Eastern Michigan. Go Hurons. Now go Eagles. But anyway.
This hasn't been our
That's
season.
That's all right.
but yeah, the ProMedica merger has been a huge, huge, I should say the partnership's been a huge, huge boost to everyone's morale, and it allows us to do a lot of things. So for people that don't know, all of those companies I just mentioned, ProMedica, Welltower, Heartland, or HCR ManorCare, they're all Toledo-based companies, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So ProMedica is a not-for-profit hospital system, and then Welltower is a REIT, so that they typically invest in senior housing. And I just mentioned what Heartland does, which is skilled nursing. So the nice part of what just happened is that we're going to have a breadth of services that no one else has.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be too pitchy here with sales, but we became the 14th largest healthcare chain in the country. And so I think what that changes for us is just because we're large doesn't mean much to folks. What that really means is we're going to be able to have educated conversations at each level of the continuum to educate all of our patients on what options they have.
And I do want to say in all sincerity, I want to say hello to our friends down in Toledo, another great town, and this station, certainly just the voice goes all the way down towards Toledo as well. So we want to thank them for their continued support. We're talking to David Liebrecht, and he's with Heartland, and we're talking about something called the healthcare continuum or the healthcare timeline. We all kind of go through this timeline in our lives from the time that we're born until we become much more mature and, God willing, maybe elderly, and have some challenges in our life. And as we're talking about, he's doing a great great job of unpacking some of these phases and things that we go through. So let's talk about the opportunities and the challenges. Let's talk about healthcare. Here we are in November / December, and people are getting ready for identifying their programs for next year, the healthcare needs, insurance programs. I know you're not an insurance company per se, but what is the biggest opportunity and challenge within that healthcare space?
Sure. So let me just correct myself. I got a little bit excited. I said 14th largest. It's the 15th largest healthcare chain.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit more optimistic.
You're already predicting what's going to happen in January, February. Okay.
Yes, yes. Leading from the front. I think that – let me read this stat out because I think it really resonates with the audience, or at least I believe it will. So within 20 years of today, 85-year-old population will double. So if you're 85 years old, that population is going to double in the next 20 years. And adults will outnumber children for the first time in U.S. history. So let me repeat that. 20 years out, 85 and up, that will double that population. And the first time in U.S. history, adults will be more of those folks than kids. It speaks for itself.
It speaks for itself.
So I think that the biggest opportunity we have is to care for those folks. And I think we're doing everything in our power to cater to them in the right way. And I think that we lead through education. A lot of people, you and I talk sidebar, a lot of people have no idea about the continuum. They have no idea what independent living is, assisted living is, skilled nursing is. To sell people on things, I think, is a short win. To educate people on what the options are, then you have a patient and a client for life. So I think that's really where our focus is. And now with the ProMedica merger, I think the breadth of services we have, our real goal is we really, really are focused on reimagining healthcare delivered to seniors.
Yeah, and healthcare continues to be delivered to a lot of people, and definitely to seniors. I can honestly say that my mom is independent living, and it was certainly a family decision. And she's enjoying it, and she's, you know, she's fortunate enough where she is independent.
Right.
And I think she's more busy than what I am. I say she's my mother and I'm the son. I can't even keep up with her.
The happiest people I meet are retirees.
Oh man. Well, let's talk if we could about, let's kind of segue into entrepreneurship. We know,
sure.
Obviously, this show is focused on entrepreneurship and small business development and how they're engaged in the community. So, talk about how has Heartland given back and worked within the community it serves, communities
sure.
it serves.
So, I mean, Heartland has such a national reach. We're always going to be a national company, but I think it also has that local feel. If you talk to people on the street corner, they know of Heartland because we've been in the communities for a decade, two decades, three decades. So we've been around a long time. Our focus is education first, like I keep talking mm-hmm. about. It's very, very important. And just a couple, you know, we've engaged with so many different community groups. I just like to list a couple. So we
sure.
just, as of in the fall, we just sponsored and contributed quite a significant amount of money to the American Heart Association. We have a bunch of folks that are cardiac patients. So the American Heart Association complements exactly what we do. And we were able to sponsor the University of Michigan stadium, the locker room, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen 100,000 people and then take them all away, it's kind of a cool experience.
It is.
We did that recently. We're also doing a food drive with food gatherers here in local Washtenaw County.
I'm on the board of food gatherers.
We're very excited about it. We're doing it in Ann Arbor on East Huron Rivers through the 30th of November. Very excited about it. And then that'll culminate in us doing another radio. I can't seem to get off the radio.
All
another
right.
radio interview with 107.1. Where we're also going to sponsor an additional $500 match if anyone wants to contribute. So tune in for that. It's November 30th at 1:00 on 107.1. And then the last thing is we probably once a month, we're very engaged with the senior centers around Metro Detroit, Ann Arbor, Canton, around the area,
yeah.
and answering all their questions that they have about Medicare, Medicaid, skilled nursing. What does it mean to them? How are things changing? What can we do for them? So I think just boots on the ground, having honest one-on-one conversations is what we're about.
In our closing couple of minutes together or so, talk to us from your perspective, the future of healthcare. What does it look like?
I think it's more open. I think it's more transparent. It needs to be. And I think you're going to see a lot of folks be very, very excited about the fact that all of our organizations, from the hospitals to skilled nursing to independent living, assisted living, we are collaborating more now than we ever have been. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very healthy. I think it's natural. I think it's the right thing to do for the patient. And the good news, it's going to reduce the cost.
You know, from a job standpoint, David, too, as we think about the future where the employment opportunities are, clearly, healthcare is one of the spaces. My daughter is actually in a PA program, physician assistant program,
sure.
at University of Detroit Mercy, And you know, she and I've had long conversations where I've shared with her, that's a great field to be in, because to the points that you point out earlier, the statistics, the powerful stats that you share with the audience today, she's going to have an opportunity to stay in that field for quite a while if she plays the cards correctly. And I tell other people, if there's an opportunity for you from an employment standpoint, healthcare is certainly a field to consider, you think?
I mean, I think, like you said, if you really have a heart for taking care of folks that are a little bit older, that are, I say, more tenured and all have all the fun, then it's a great field to go into because it's booming, it's expanding, especially in Metro Detroit. And like you said, there's a plethora of things you can do. It's not just one thing. You can work at the hospital. You can work at a place like us. You can work in home care, skilled nursing. So it's just, sky's the limit, and it's very, very, very active. And like you said, it's growing.
Yeah, and in a closing 30 seconds or so, anything that you want to say in closing?
Sure.
And also end with the website as well for the organization.
Yeah, I, Mark, I really appreciate the opportunity. We had met because I kept trying to reach out to you on LinkedIn. I shout out to Roy Sexton. I follow him. He's a good marketer. I just kept asking to get on the program, really believe in it, because you're a local guy and do a great job.
Thank you. I
think our differentiator, as big as the company is boots on the ground, having honest conversations about what healthcare really looks like. And if people want more information and have questions for us, please feel free to reach out to me directly. The website is ichooseheartland.com.
David Liebreger, we want to thank you very much for coming in and sharing the good things that are happening. Go
appreciate
out and make
it
a great day. Have a wonderful holiday season as
you
well.
You too. Happy holidays.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Doug, why don't you go out and have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend and
turkey season.
more turkey.
And more turkey.
Well, you know, we know we've been struggling, so all I'm going to say is speaking of turkey,
sorry.
Hey, man. It's too easy. But always in closing, what do we say?
Go Lions.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.